Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen. Well, Megan, thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Yeah, well, let's get going. I realize when I'm looking at the questions, I've got a lot of questions for you today, so we'll get into it. We have Megan Flanagan here on Fit for a Queen. We're so happy to have her. Megan is an avid Spartan and trail runner, personal trainer, and co-founder of Strong Runner Chicks, an online community created to educate, empower, and connect female runners, proving that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to being a distance runner. She ran NCAA cross-country and track at both Lamar University and University of Minnesota, where she competed in steeplechase and long-distance events. While completing her Bachelor of Science in Nutrition, Psychology, and Business, she is currently pursuing her Master's in Public Health, at Utah State University and working as a fitness graduate assistant for their campus recreation program.
Gosh, what are you doing with your spare time?
We'll talk about that.
When not out running, working, or studying, Megan enjoys rock climbing, reading nonfiction, cooking up new recipes, and is in the process of her 200-hour yoga certification. She strives to inspire others to discover their true purpose, start taking action, and reach their full potential through optimized health and well-being. Welcome, Megan.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you all, and I appreciate the intro.
Yeah, and again, I've talked to Megan before, and we have such a passion for the similar thing, so we're excited to chat with you. So let's get into talking about body image of athletes. And one body type that is often discussed, especially if you're a runner or running competitively, is having this runner's body. Can you define what that actually means for us? And where does this view of what a runner should look like come from?
Yeah. So I think the myth, I would call it a myth of the perfect runner's body, really stems from what, of course, we allude to society. So it starts with the marketing and messaging that we're getting from magazines and social media about how a runner should look. And then I also think it comes from some of the women and girls that are finishing these races and the top 10. And we look at those top collegiate and professional athletes and sometimes think that that's how we all should look, regardless of where we're at, if we just started as a runner. And I think starting to idealize, that's really where the whole myth of having a runner's body stems from. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that is something that too many of us fall prey to, especially in when we're younger and more impressionable, which we'll talk about. But that's kind of where I think it all comes from.
You know, being a runner yourself and kind of steeplechase and the events at you, would you kind of feel that that was a myth that you yourself or your teammates in college kind of believed too? Or how was that discussed for you personally in the sports that you were competing in?
Yeah, I would say definitely I noticed a marketable difference as I went from middle school to high school, and then going especially from high school to running at the NCAA Division I level, and wondering, okay, how can I get better as a runner and what's the next step? And then feeling like when I looked at, of course, I think we all fall prey to comparison and comparing ourselves with the teammates that were around and the girls that are finishing top at the state and regional levels. And Sometimes, unfortunately, those girls are not healthy, but in our eyes, we don't know that. So for me, at least, I used to think that I had to fit this size of a runner's body and felt like I couldn't live up to that standard. It just wasn't like I was bigger bones than the girls that were finishing first or the ones that I wanted to look more like. And so, yeah, and I think that's just, it wasn't just me. It was also my teammates around me. And I felt like there needed to be something done about that because after realizing that, okay, these girls actually aren't healthy, this isn't for every, like, not everyone needs to look this way. That's where Strong Runner Chicks came into my mind, that we need a platform to actually share what's going on behind closed doors or the things that we don't often talk about in the sport, which was a lot of disordered eating and body image struggles behind those gleaming successes and first place awards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you believe that the stereotype can be dangerous starting with our young impressionable runners?
So I do want to say that so in order of, in honor of National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, I was at a movie showing last night, a film screening. I think it was called Straight Curves. And I learned some new statistics that 86% of eating disorders develop by the age of 20. So, and over 40% of teenage girls have tried to control their weight through food or exercise. And I think that this just goes to show these statistics that at this age, we are very young and we're very impressionable to outside resource or to just kind of developing our identities and also forming who we are. And I think in that we're very fragile at that age in teenage years. And so I know that girls in the high school and college level are looking to see how they can get better and look to the next level. And a lot of times that starts with looking at professional runners as role models and thinking that we have to look like them, even if they've been in the sport for say 20, 30 years. And we might have just gotten into the sport. And so at this age too, girls' bodies are still developing and they really need those extra calories. So skimping on any food, I think, can have detrimental effects. And we don't often realize that we need the, like I said, we need those extra calories and we can't skimp on quality food during this time. So I think that's a really dangerous and fragile time for girls.
Mm-hmm. Fueling that body is so important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you share the journey of how Strong Runner Chicks came about and how you're tackling some of the stereotypes of what a runner should be?
Yeah. So Strong Runner Chicks started my sophomore year of college after getting into collegiate running and seeing the effect that this was having not only on me, but on my teammates and on other girls that were very impressionable to these stereotypes of what a runner should look like. And I thought that there should be a platform where girls can share stories of how these issues have affected them so that we can help prevent them in the younger generation and really every generation, but just talking about these issues more. Like, there wasn't a lot around these issues. And I noticed some blogs out there like Rachel Style and Running in Silence, mm-hmm. But there weren't very many of those, and they were, yeah, so they were a little less common back then. And I thought there should be some sort of online community or platform to unite female distance runners, especially in the college years. And so that's where I started Strong Runner Chicks. I started with sharing just the story of myself and then some of my teammates and friends. And eventually we brought on more contributors, had some guest blog posts, and started tackling the stereotypes of what a runner should look like and trying to prove that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to this sport. And you can be successful in regardless of your weight or your size, and those things really don't matter as much. And also just helping to spread that message far and wide to a variety of teams and girls, and helping them know that they're not alone in whatever they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know we've been talking about body image of the runner, but in general, to identify as being a runner is very strong. People connect to that when you are a runner. And I think this is important to talk about, too. And we're talking a lot of transition out of sport or competition. And for you doing that as well. So how can we value this part of our identity of being a runner? And when can having the identity of a runner being our sole identifier be dangerous, do you think?
Yeah, so I do think that to a certain extent we do. To be a successful runner, obviously it matters a lot to you if you're performing at a high level. And even if it's just a day-to-day part of your life, that can and should be somewhat a part of your identity, is that you are a runner. But at the same time, I think that it can easily go too far to where that becomes all that your life is about. Or if you have a bad race, or your workout isn't great that day, if it just takes a toll on everything else, that's really a trap to fall into, that we can easily fall into. And that's where it becomes dangerous, is where running is everything to you and you kind of lose yourself in terms of being a human being, just and enjoying yourself and doing other things outside of your sport. And I think we put that pressure on ourselves to perform so well oftentimes. And so I think it's easy to fall into that trap, but there's definitely a way to see that you are so much more than just a runner.
Going back to kind of the social media in comparison, I think this is hard to find role models in the sport. So who are you following? Who does Strong Runner Chicks believe are some great models, role models for the young runners coming up to follow, that they can see this wellness as a whole?
So I love this question, because I think there are so many runners out there that are now coming out to share more about the struggles they've gone through, and the fact that they too might struggle with body image or food or mental health. So I love that there's more transparency being created around these topics. One runner that really stands out to me that we had on Strong Runner Chick Radio, our podcast, is Allie Kiefer, who recently signed with Wazelle. And her article went viral on Self and various other platforms. And I think she does a really great job of showing that she too has struggled with body image before, and that we're all, I think by doing that, it just shows that we're all human and we can relate to runners regardless of what level they're at. Another one is, well, I would also say any runners we've featured in our How the Pros Fuel series, like Katie Mackey, Neely, Spence Gracie. I think there's a lot of, we featured several runners somewhere between 10 and 15, and they've just spoken about various topics, some of which have struggled with disordered eating or with comparison in terms of the professional level. And then Kelly Roberts, too, is another one that I really like, from the Sports Bra Squad, and just sharing kind of another side, because she's not necessarily a, you know, she's not competing in the Olympics or anything, but she goes out and has a good time and shows that, like, it's about so much more than being a runner, and also just, like, being proud in your identity and who you are. And I love that about her. So those are a few to start with. But I think whoever inspires you personally is really, really important. And another thing, too, that it's hard is showing that you are proud in your body by maybe sharing a sports raw picture every now and then, but also not following those people that make you feel bad about yourself. If they're posting that kind of stuff every day, like the six pack abs, or, you know, crushing another workout every single day. And I think that mentality, we need to slow down and kind of come away from that, because more often than not, avid runners, at least the ones in the Strong Runner Chick community and probably in your community, athletes, we sometimes need to hear, just slow down, just relax, and you're doing just fine. And I think the messaging recently has gotten to the point where it's like, go hard every day or go home, and, you know, racing every weekend kind of a thing. So sometimes we just need to tune back into the self-care piece and doing that can really help, kind of checking in with your body too, like not just how do I look in the mirror or what's the number. I mean, I've like thrown out my scale. What's the number on the scale? Yay. Just tuning into how you're feeling internally, and also how are you performing? Like, are you feeling fresh or are you feeling really fatigued? And when's a good time to take a rest day? Like making sure that your rest is just as important as the pushing hard, even more so, I think, is we get better in the rest and recovery.
Mm-hmm. I often tell my runners, you're not meant to PR daily.
Yeah.
Many times, no. Like every single time they need to go out.
And that's a good point. And mm-hmm. who are you following that makes you feel not great about your body and your performance is pretty important too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had Megan Marshall on the podcast as well, Strong Runner Chick Radio. And she has her own Love Fly body image movement. She's a former NCAA runner, so she knows kind of how this, as an athlete, what it can be like. And she recommends taking a social media detox every now and then and just going through and unfollowing those people. I mean, it's not personal to them, but just if they are making you feel inferior in any way, unfollowing them and just focusing on you as a person and yourself and what you have to contribute to society, and not just, I think we can get just so caught up in our Instagram feeds and looking through everyone else and feeling like we're not keeping up. So mm-hmm. I do that every now and then, is just try to disconnect from social media and reconnect with myself for that.
But we do want to make sure that we stay in tune for what you have on social media, because it sounds like you have a big retreat coming up.
We do.
Tell us about it.
So we are really excited to be bringing together our community in person and offering a retreat this May. It's very end of May, right after the Boulder 10K in Boulder, Colorado.
Nice.
And so it's going to be a 3-day retreat. We will have Neely Spence Gracie, a professional runner there, Melody Fairchild, who's now a master's runner and she's been a lifelong runner, so we'll learn a lot from her. Myself and Kelsey, who are the co-hosts of SRC Radio, and then Megan Marshall and Rachel Stiles. So most of which I mentioned our guests, special guests and speakers already in this episode, because they're so awesome and we're excited to have them. And then we'll be doing, I think, even more so than the running itself, as well, we will be doing some running here and there, but I would invite anyone to come regardless of what level they're at in their running career. And we may have some people there that are going through injury, and we'll be doing yoga and restorative exercises for that, and some cooking demonstrations, learning new recipes, cooking up some things from Run Fast, Eat Slow. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that is just about self-care, restorative, talking about the deeper issues in the sport of running. So not so much the physical component, but talking about the mental aspect and psychological aspect. So it's going to be a really fun event, and we have 5 spots still open. So ooh, if anyone's listening, yeah, we invite uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, we'll be sure to put that on our social media feed as well. Uh-huh. So.
That sounds fun. Well, maybe we'll be 2 of the 5. I would love to do that. That sounds awesome.
We would love to have you.
Well, Megan, we end every interview with asking our interviewees how they live out the fit philosophy themselves. So how do you kind of keep the balance with all of you got going on? How do you continue to focus on performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self?
Ooh, that is a mm-hmm. really good question. Yeah. Well, some people say balance is a myth. I think we kind of go, I've accepted at least that we'll go through seasons of life sometimes where we're in an up phase and everything's great. And other times it's kind of that recovery period. So I don't often think of that it has to be a day-to-day process, but more like week to week, month to month, checking in. I would say for me, first and foremost, having graduated from collegiate running this past year, I've learned that you have to schedule in those workouts, or sometimes they just don't happen. And it's been nice to take some time away from the competitive side of things, but also just getting into some fun activity, trail running, Spartan racing, trying new things. I try to plan I'll say I keep a calendar to stay organized with grad school and work and everything else, and we'll plan in those workouts, but also like checking in with myself and seeing, okay, did I get enough sleep last night? Like, how am I feeling today? And making sure that if I'm not feeling the greatest, that I don't go out and do a hard workout. And that piece is really important. And then intellect, I love that you include that in there as well, because I think always accepting the fact that I don't know everything, and there's the more that you know, the more you don't know, and always seeking to learn more from others through podcasts and reading and developing yourself. So that's a key part of it too. And I guess nutrition wise too, like prioritizing, at least I meal prep for the week so that I have some meals that I know are going to fuel me well and keep me feeling good. So that part is key as well to properly fueling, recovering, and being able to push hard in those certain times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Megan, thanks so much for being on. If our listeners want to learn more about Strong Runner Chicks and join the Runvolution, you can go to strongrunnerchicks.com. They've got a great blog that talks more about these topics, as well as SRC Radio, where you can get connected to some of the runners they've been interviewing. Thanks so much for being on, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, same here. Have a good one.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FitForAQueen.
Hashtag FitForAQueen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.